one of the interesting things about Pinterest that people joke about is it's the introvert's platform. You're kind of surprised when someone's in your space. You're like, why are you commenting on my stuff? Like, this is my space. Like, this is my quiet.
Hi, I'm Christina Kreidel.
I'm Maggie Mulhern from Modern Salon Media.
Hi, I'm Eric Vaughn.
Hello to all the hair besties in the land. This is Guy Tang, and welcome to the Hair Game Podcast.
Hey, hair gamers. I am your host, Eric Taylor. For any new listeners joining us today, I want to talk to you for a minute. The goal of this podcast is to make your life better behind the chair. Whether it's sharing the inspirational and educational stories of some of your hair heroes or giving you nuts and bolts information about marketing yourself, better ways to run your business. We talk about things like TikTok and Instagram tactics. We talk about how to get stimulus money from the government. We talk about things as boring as insurance. But of course, insurance is important. So we talk about it. We talk about how to better manage your money. Anything that can help you in the salon behind the chair. That's what we are here for. That's what we come back for every single Monday with a new episode. I think that we've almost done 200 episodes. I think this is episode 199. Next week is number 200. I think we've only repeated two or three episodes in our 3+ years that we've been doing this. Maybe it has been 4 years. I think it's been 4 years that we've been doing this. Our Instagram handle is The Hair Game Podcast, and mine is Love Eric Taylor. The Hair Game Podcast Instagram account, we basically take the information here and then we distill it down to just kind of the most important points, and then we put that onto the Instagram for the podcast, okay? That's how you communicate with us. If you want to send us a message, go to the Hair Game Podcast and DM us or write us a comment on one of the posts. That's how we communicate with you and you communicate with us. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for checking us out. By the way, every week we do something called the Pod Loot Giveaway. And instead of telling you about it, I'll just let you experience it. All the normal listeners like, just tell us who won. This week, we're giving away a GHD Pro hairdryer, and the winner is pop.in.colors, poppin' colors on Instagram. DM us at the Hair Game Podcast and let us know that you heard me call your name, and we are going to send you the GHD Pro hairdryer. At the end of the show, new listeners, that's where I tell you what we're going to be giving away next week and how you can win that, okay? It's all about writing a review for us. That's how we thank you for writing a review for us. Now, to the episode about Pinterest. I'm sitting here with Kate All. Did I pronounce your name right? A-H-L.
You nailed it.
Kate All. I nailed it on the first try. And I could have asked you that before we started recording, but I didn't.
Good job.
I love it. I took a risk. And it paid off. All right, Kate All, you are a Pinterest expert. You're the CEO of Simple Pin Media. You've been doing that for 8 years. Simple Pin Media on Instagram, for those who spend their lives on Instagram, is Simple Pin Media, just like it sounds. P-I-N, obviously, for Pinterest. You teach Pinterest marketing tips to businesses small and large, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going to focus on small businesses, you know, individual businesses on this episode. You also are a podcaster. And
yes,
truth be told to the audience, Kate and I were bonding before we started recording on the trials and tribulations of being a podcaster. She's been doing it longer than I've been doing it. You've been doing it for 5 years. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Amazing. You have an educational platform that you call the Simple Pin Collective, where you do classes teaching Pinterest in groups. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Group learning, but lots of targeted videos for what people need.
Cool. So if I was to boil it down, you probably act as a consultant. So if after this show, I wanted to say, Kate, help me and Salon Republic out with our Pinterest. It's desperate. It needs somebody. Then you and I could work something out where I pay you and you spend a certain amount of time helping us out, right? So you do that.
Yep.
You also have the podcast, which anybody could, it's not a subscription required pay deal. You just listen and learn, right?
Yep, that's correct. Okay.
Or you can, if you don't have a big budget, if you're an independent beauty professional, for example, small business person, you could probably join the Simple Pin Collective. It's probably reasonably priced, and you learn a lot about Pinterest, maybe just not as bespoke as a one-on-one, right?
Yeah, correct. It's more, you want to do it on your own and take more small steps instead of just concentrating in all at one. Let's do this.
Cool. So I'm super excited to have this conversation because Pinterest is something that is not discussed in the professional beauty community very much. However, I've been seeing for probably, I was going to say 12 to 24 months, but the last 12 months are basically a wash. So let's call it 24 to 36 months. I've been noticing that the source of visitors to the Salon Republic website have been increasingly from Pinterest, which is very, very interesting. And so we've been trying to find the bandwidth within our organization that runs the salons to dedicate more resources and time to Pinterest, because it seems to be more important, even though we don't talk about it a lot in our industry. So here we are, we're gonna talk about it. But my first question for you is, why did you choose Pinterest? 8 years ago, you decided, I'm gonna focus on Pinterest. Why Pinterest?
Yeah, I was helping a friend with Facebook at the time, and Facebook had just changed their first business page algorithm. And so basically a lot of people who were website owners at the time were looking for new traffic. Well, that collided with the fact that my husband had lost his job and the recession. We were living on unemployment and food stamps, and that was basically coming to an end. And I was sitting at a friend's table, and she said, you should try to manage people's Pinterest accounts and help people figure out Pinterest because they want to go somewhere else besides Facebook. And I said, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. It's never going to work. And she was like, well, you don't have any other option. Like, you need to try this. And so I bought the domain Simple Pin Media, and I dove into everything I could Pinterest to figure out how to make it work for businesses. I got 3 beta clients, and I figured out that I loved it. I loved figuring out how to make Pinterest work when I knew a lot of business owners were confused by it because they were using it personal and they didn't know how to make that leap from personal to business. So that's how I got started.
Very interesting. So did you not know much about Pinterest before you got into it?
I only knew a little bit. You know, I'd used it for her business, her website. So I had played around with it. I knew it could drive traffic. I actually knew it could do a lot of things. I was really impressed with what Pinterest was bringing to websites. And so it was a lot of self-taught, but I never thought I could do it as a business for other people. I was very singular focused on just making it work for the one. So the thought of making it work for many or trying to teach it, I just didn't think about it at the time.
Super cool. So let's get into it. What I'm just going to ask you the most basic version of this question, and then you can take it wherever you want to take it for the audience. What is Pinterest?
So Pinterest is a search and discovery network. That's really all it is. People go there to look for ideas, to plan, to dream, to look forward to what's next. We like to differentiate it from Instagram, where people go to really get lost in people's lives and they look to follow people, whether they're celebrities or whoever they are. Whereas with Pinterest, they go over there, and this sounds kind of strange, but they don't care about you. They really care about what it is they want. So they're going to put things like short haircut, how to go gray, all of those kind of things. They are not attached to a name or a brand. So we think of Pinterest less as social media and really like Google. It's just where people go to search. And so that helps people differentiate from how they're trying to be a presence versus a search term or a category.
Okay, that was a pretty good description. So given that, why would an independent beauty professional want to spend time on Pinterest? If people don't care about who they are, why would they spend time on it? And I asked that question with maybe I'll just amend the end of that question by saying that an independent beauty professional, just like any small business, cares first and foremost about gaining clients.
Yeah.
So how do they do that with Pinterest?
So it's a little bit tricky because Pinterest is national and it is global. So one of the things to think about is something that you specialize in. So a lot of people will go to Pinterest and they'll search what I said, like going to gray, or they'll search inverted hairstyles, or I'm sure there's 100 more terms I'm missing along the way. But there's a lot of things that beauty professionals specialize in that people are searching for on Pinterest. And what they do is they save a bunch of ideas and then they revisit that and then they go to people's websites. So the great part about Pinterest is that they're not really primed to stay on the platform like they would on Instagram to kind of get lost in it. When they're on Pinterest, they find what they want and they go to the website, which is what you talked about in the beginning, starting to see a lot more traffic. So as we see Pinterest, we see it as an awareness builder, a traffic driver to get people to your website, to get exposure to who you are. Where on Instagram, it takes a lot of effort to get people to move off the platform. So when we suggest people to use Pinterest, we do it because it's similar to why you would use Google. You want people to come to your website to be exposed to who you are, where you are, and what you do. Pinterest allows that to happen.
Okay, so let's say a hairdresser focuses on extensions. That's where she makes all of her money. She can create a Pinterest account. Is there a business and a personal?
Yeah, there is a business and a personal, and you want to be business because it gives you access to analytics and ads and all of the other good things that go along with being a business.
And she sets up a business account and it's all extensions. What kind of content is she trying to post? Content that is discoverable, I imagine, because we're talking about Pinterest being a discoverable sort of platform that you can then, it's kind of like a funnel, right? It's almost like a sales funnel. At the very top of the funnel is very wide and somebody sees something about extensions and then they can click on a website. And I think this is, I believe you mentioned it, but I'm going to specify it more because I think that's one of the main differences. You can put a website link on your pin, right?
Yes,
your pin is like a post.
Yep.
So you post a pin and you have a website link there and you can link from that pin to your website directly. Can you link to, I imagine you can link to your Instagram account if you want people, you want to drive traffic to your Instagram account, you could do that.
You could. We don't really recommend it all the time because from app to app, it can be super bumpy. And sometimes Pinterest users are not on Instagram. So you can link to it, but we highly recommend you link to your website instead, just because if something changes on Instagram or something happens, just don't go that route. You can definitely use the pictures on Instagram for Pinterest. So I'll kind of start at the beginning for someone who's maybe like, I don't even know where to begin. So number one with the profile, it's going to be exactly what it is your business about is about. You've put that on business cards, you've put that on flyers or your website or whatever. So that means we want to see your business name, we want to see information, and Pinterest automatically adds a link to your website in the profile when you become a business account. So you don't have to worry about adding it anywhere else. So
business account is free, right?
Yeah, totally free. Yep, exactly. So you have boards on those accounts, and those boards, we like to think of them kind of like buckets of what you talk about. So let's take the person with extensions. So there could be different types of extensions, how to take care of extensions. There's a lot of questions that people are already asking. And if you're ever wondering about it, Pinterest has a search bar at the top. Just start putting in questions in there or terms, and it auto-populates what people are already talking about on Pinterest. So you can take a lot of cues from that. We also tell people you want to showcase, maybe you have product that can be purchased online, or you have product that you want to show up close, or the extensions or the process, whatever it is. Those are the kinds of things you're pinning to Pinterest so they can go back to your website to learn more. You also want to think about your FAQs. People are asking a lot of questions about whatever service you do or whatever product you have. You can break that down into a simple post, and you can images. You want me to go here next on images to talk a little bit about that? Okay.
Yeah.
So images on Pinterest are vertical and they're very much like billboard advertising, thinking of somebody kind of scrolling by in the feed. You want something that it maybe shows the extensions and then a quick poppy headline where I can read it in less than 3 seconds. So whatever it is, maybe what extensions can do for you, the benefits, or maybe you have extensions and you don't know how to take care of them. So then people see this in their feed and they're like, oh, I need this. Click on it and go to your website to learn more or read more. That's really how the Pinterest user works, because they know your website has more. So these images that you have are really what people are looking at first. So they're searching, scanning images for what they need, clicking and moving off to your website.
Okay. So punchy images, when it comes to hair, obviously we're a very visual industry and a lot of hairdressers have Instagram and Facebook accounts already. So can they repurpose all that content that they have, the thousands of pictures of clients, they can repurpose it for Pinterest?
Absolutely. And one of the really great parts about searching for hair or nails or anything on Pinterest is they're really popular searches already. People on Pinterest are looking for great new hairstyles or new haircuts. And so you can take those pictures, put them onto Pinterest, and there's a thing below called the pin description. This describes what it is, and this is less for the person and more for the algorithm. So when somebody's searching something, it matches up. So when you write this pin description about, say you have a really great image from Instagram you want to pull over, and then you're going to lead it to your website, in this pin description, 2 to 3 sentences, really natural sounding, and include the terms you think people are going to be searching. How to go gray, or how to whatever. And then Pinterest will match that up. They'll see the image and then they'll come to your website. Now, one of the things I want to say here too, with when it comes to haircuts, is you can get away with not putting text on those images because people really want to see the haircut. So they're going to be more interested in it. So beauty professionals have a little bit of an advantage on people who maybe only write articles, where they can do images with the standalone of whatever it is, the haircut or the extension. And then they can also do images that have text on them that give a little bit more context for maybe like a FAQ or an article or something like that. So there's a lot of diversification you can do with images, and definitely repurposing all the images that you already have.
You talked about the searchability of the caption, and Instagram, we call it a caption. In Pinterest, that just, you don't have to hashtag.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Pinterest has said that you can, but they don't highlight anymore. Pinterest is a little confused about how they feel about hashtags. And so they've come out and said, we love them. They've come out and said, don't use them. Use 20, only use 2. They're very confused. So if you want to leave them off, we recommend that. Just don't even worry about them.
So if you write, you know, hair extensions on my beautiful client, Sarah, then extensions, you don't have to hashtag extension underneath it because it's already there in the caption and searchable.
Correct. In fact, hashtagging it will actually break the search. So we tell people don't do that so Pinterest can read it. Like you're sending a text to a friend about a really amazing haircut or something like that. Just write it like that.
So there's no tagging either. You're not tagging specific things in your pin. You're not tagging other accounts, other pin accounts, right?
Correct. Yes, that's correct. And that really goes along with the people on Pinterest are not really concerned about following other people. So we do that on Instagram because we want to tag all these people and we want to give recognition. That doesn't really so much matter on Pinterest.
Or we want to notify somebody else that you posted something, and there's no reason to notify another Pinterest account that you pinned something.
Right. Correct. In fact, one of the interesting things about Pinterest that people joke about is it's the introverts platform. You're kind of surprised when someone's in your space. You're like, why are you commenting on my stuff? Like, this is my space. Like, this is my quiet. And so you just have to understand that it's not this. You don't have to tag somebody, and somebody's not going to be upset if you don't tag them or whatever. It's really all about just serving the pinner where they're at in that search of discovering the best haircut or the best extensions, because they're your fact finders. They're the people that are going to go research things for a while because they want to make sure that they are getting the best and the most perfect fit for them. So I think that's also important to say, is that pinners will take about 3 months to make a decision. So when we look at metric.
When you say a pinner, are you talking about the audience or are you talking about the person who is pinning? running the account.
Exactly. We distinguish between pinner is a regular person, and then a creator is a business owner on Pinterest. So that's a good distinction. The pinner will spend about 3 months trying to decide, and they will save a lot of things. So some metrics that the creator might see are saves of their pins, but not quite yet people taking action, because they're gathering, like putting it all in a bucket. And then when they get closer to their appointment, they're going to go into the salon and they're going to pull up their Pinterest board and be like, look at all these things I've saved. I want a haircut like this. And that's really helpful for beauty professionals too, because they can see the visual of what their client wants instead of their client trying to describe what's in their head. So it's a really great way to have it be used right directly there in the salon too.
Got it. Are there pinners who are clients looking geographically within their location for a hairstylist?
You know, we don't see that as much, and that's mostly because Pinterest can't target quite yet organically with a zip code. Now, you could target people with a paid ad on Pinterest by zip code. So if you knew that you wanted to get more clients in, I'm in Portland, so if I wanted to get more people in Portland, I could run an ad of a particular service, and then I could target that zip code in that way.
Can't you, if you're a creator, in this case, the small business person, hairdresser doing extensions, could you not make a pin and just say, I do extensions in Portland, Oregon, and this is Sarah, isn't it beautiful? And, yeah. You know, with a before and after. And then you, Kate, who lives in Portland, Oregon, just search, you know, extensions Portland.
Yes, you could do that. I think I have a little less faith that the algorithm on Pinterest is smart enough quite yet to make sure that works. But I do think that's a smart strategy, is to have a board that talks about the service that you provide, Portland, Oregon, or something like that. You can name it in the board, and then you can name it on the pin description too. You can certainly do that. It just, I would say the algorithm is getting smarter, but not totally smart yet.
What I see my wife using Pinterest for, and she's used Pinterest probably maybe 50% of her use of these platforms, social media broadly, about 50% of her use is Pinterest. And it always has been, ever since we had kids, really, which has been about 10 years. So she goes to Pinterest to look up ideas for, you know, the birthday party that's coming up, or a gift for a kid, or a fun craft project to do with the kids on a Saturday. And she'll pin a million things there. And she always comes up with these extremely creative ideas, and all the other moms are like, oh my God, how did you come up with that idea? And my wife's always like, Pinterest. But I see that there is quite a bit of beauty content. You know, before we started this this conversation, I see that there is quite a bit of beauty content on there, and I wonder, you know, I'm going to delve into it a little bit more, but there's some pretty big accounts on Pinterest for beauty.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's when we look at all the search trends, Pinterest does both Pinterest predictions for the upcoming year, and then they'll look back at the previous year and look at what the search terms are. And beauty is always top of the list when it comes to the searches that are happening on Pinterest. And there's new up and coming terms too. I think that's another thing to pay attention to as well, is where is your industry going and what kind of terms do you see popping up around? And that ends up popping up on Pinterest too. People start putting in that new term or that new style, and they just begin to just generate this new, I guess, discoverability of something new. And I love that there's so many different options you can go down when it comes to showcasing your product on there and then getting clicks. That's what I think I love about it more than anything else, is that you are surfacing the ability to get traffic to your website, as opposed to just somebody kind of lurking and saying, oh, it's a beautiful picture, and then kind of moving on.
So that's super interesting regarding the trends. Where do you find that?
So if you search just Pinterest trends, There's two things that you'll find. One,
wait, they have search on Pinterest or search on Google?
Search on Google Pinterest trends. Mm-hmm. So there's two things that you'll find. Number one, they have a new tool actually called Trends, where you can go to it and you can search to see how many searches are happening throughout the year, kind of like the search volume of whatever term you want to use. And then they also have what's called Pinterest Predictions. If you Google Pinterest Predictions, you will get their PDF of all their 2021 predictions.
Very interesting. Okay, I want to kind of go back a little bit and talk about the platform itself, the homepage. Is like a discovery page. Is that correct? You can follow people on Pinterest, but the default homepage is kind of like the explore page on Instagram. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a combination of people you follow and what Pinterest thinks you're interested in based on your searches, promoted pins, and then people they want you to follow, and then interests you want they want you to follow. So it's kind of this combination. They call it the smart feed. They hope that when you open up your app on Pinterest and you look at that first home screen and start scrolling, they want it to be so closely identified with what it is you're interested in that you just get lost in it and keep going and going and going.
Okay, so that's different than the following page. There's also a following. It's like a tab, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you can click on the following, and a little bit like TikTok in that regard, where you get the discoverability, almost explore nature of the homepage, and then you can toggle over to your following, and then you get stuff that you get pins. You see pins that are posted just by those who are your who you are following. I'm getting the sense that following specific accounts on Pinterest is not that big of a deal compared to Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, you're correct. People aren't going to go over there first to follow people. In fact, we've heard from people that they struggle to even know how to follow people sometimes. I will say it's
changing. The button's huge. It's right there.
I know.
It's like
true.
Red. I don't even know how. I don't know how they can make it any more obvious.
Well, I know, true. But here's the thing is that when people hop onto Pinterest, they just get so lost in their home feed that they click on a pin and they click to a website, or they click on a pin and they save it. Rarely do they go to people's profiles and visit that, which is where the follow button is. So we're seeing it enter in a little bit more as Pinterest has introduced some new features that do lead people to the profile. But for the most part, followers, yeah, they just don't really matter, because you can have 200 followers and you can have a pin go crazy viral because somebody has shared it and then somebody else pinned it and somebody else saved it. And it just kind of has this snowball effect.
So I looked at the Salon Republic Pinterest account before starting this conversation. And I think we have like 1,000 followers and we have like 400,000 visits or something, which is a big differential. And you're not going to see that on Instagram, right? If you have a lot of visits, profile visits, you're likely to have some proportionate amount of followers. But people can look at our posts or pins. They can look at our pins without following us, and that's okay. And the way that we as creators or a hairdresser who's doing extensions can take advantage of those visits is simply by making sure that each pin has an effective link on it, whether it's their website or maybe their affiliate account on Amazon if they're selling extensions or recommending an extension and they have an affiliate account on Amazon, let's say, they can send somebody there.
Yeah, absolutely. So with Amazon, I will say this, we recommend you actually send them to a page on your website. If you have it, if you can do this, we understand some people can't, but if you have a page on your website that links your favorite products and the Amazon links are there, we recommend that instead of going straight to Amazon, because once a pin is pinned, it can live forever. You can get traffic on that pin. In fact, one of my top pins is I pinned in 2017, and it still brings the majority of clicks to my website. So things can stick around. Yeah, they stick around for a long time.
Wait a second. So when you say they stick around, you're saying that that pin is still very discoverable and still ends up in people's homepages.
Yep, correct. And wow. Searches too, especially because people are searching. So not only are they scrolling through that main smart feed, you know, to kind of get lost in the black hole of Pinterest, but they're going to the search bar and saying, how do I go gray? And then whatever has been clicked on a lot or saved a lot, like Google, shows up in the top. So if you got to the top because people found it really helpful, you can be at the top for 3 to 4 years and it still sends traffic, which is why that link is so important, because you want it to have the potential to live for a while, which is why I tell people, if you're going to do an Amazon, Amazon can change their links at any time or go out of stock or whatever. But if you send them to your website where you have your favorite products page, you can swap that out anytime. So if you do get traffic for a couple of years, then that's still great active links where you can serve people. Yeah, my pin from 2017 is all about how to clean up Pinterest boards. I created it on a whim because people were asking me that question all the time. And I pinned it to Pinterest and it still brings me about 1,000 sessions from Pinterest a month. Oh. I don't touch it. It sits there. We have an email where they can sign up for our email list. They can get connected with us and continue the journey, because we don't want to lose that traffic just by getting a click. But yeah, it's great to open up an analytics. There it is.
That's amazing. So does that mean, does the algorithm mean that a post is less likely to go viral early? I don't know if viral is even a thing on Pinterest, but does that mean that content that is recently pinned is less likely to start driving a lot of traffic to your website because it simply hasn't built up the value, or at least that history that tells Pinterest the kinds of people who want to see it?
Yeah, you're correct. It takes a little bit of time for Pinterest to figure out where to put it, who to drip it out to, which back to followers and what we were talking about. That's why if I follow you and you pin something today, I might not see it right away. It might not show up in my feed because Pinterest is kind of dripping it out to everybody that it is searching this or interested in or following. I might not see it for 2 weeks and then I take action on it. Then somebody sees it a month later and then takes action, which leads to why Pinterest is a little hard to market on, because there's not that good feeling, right? We don't get these dopamine hits of likes or comments or interaction. We really have to wait for the algorithm to take hold of what it is our pin is about and then to take off, which a lot of people give up like month 2 or 3 because they think, this is so boring, there's nothing happening. But it takes a little bit of time. 6 to 9 months is really what we recommend people keep investing in Pinterest, like stoking a fire to let that take off, because you could have a pin in that time, get picked up, and just really go crazy.
It's really planting a seed, right? You're planting a bunch of seeds over the course of 6 to 9 months. And it's so funny. It's like the opposite of Instagram, where you're supposed to spend the first hour responding to all the comments. And some people, if they don't get the engagement they want in the first 12 hours, then they delete the post.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
Pinterest is the opposite. You're planting a seed, hoping that there's going to be, you're planting 20 seeds, hoping that some of those seeds are going to grow up and start producing some sort of fruit.
Yeah, exactly. And we like to just remind people that, I love how you put it with planting a seed, because it is really important as you look out on your business over 2, 3, 4 years and you really want to build a sustainable business, grow, have people come to your website. Pinterest is a great place to do that. It's the same you would invest in Google or business or anything like that. It's just really putting a stake in the ground and saying, this is where I'm going to find more people, new people, and to think of it as its own stream, not trying to compare. People come to us all the time and they say, okay, I do this on Instagram. Can I do this on Pinterest? No. Can I do this? No. Like, you really have to think of it as something so new and just a diversification of your marketing. That's really it.
Sure. You mentioned ads. Does that speed up the growth of that seed? So you start seeing the seedlings earlier than 6 to 9 months?
That's a great question. Yes, it can, especially if you know who you want to target. also, I will say who you want to target is one way to use the ads. But also, if you don't know who your people are, Pinterest ads can help give you a lot of insight into who's clicking on your ads, where they're at, what they're interested in. However, they do still have that stoking the fire where Facebook and Instagram ads are super quick. You start to get engagement right away, but you turn on an ad and you turn off an ad on those platforms. On Pinterest, you can take an existing pin and you can put some money behind it. And then once you stop putting money behind it, that pin is still on Pinterest. It's still generating more juice, if you will. And then let's say 6 months later, you want to run an ad again on that. So it's again, a different kind of strategy, but you can definitely get a jump start with Pinterest ads for sure.
You mentioned that some pinners, not the people who are pinning. Well, I guess when you save a pin, that's called pinning?
Yes.
Okay. So the creators are the ones who put the stuff on, and then the pinners take the content and they save it. So you said that some of them don't have Instagram accounts. So what you're talking about is a different audience than where everybody in our industry is spending their time. That's very valuable.
Yeah. And it's also important to know that you can get your customer on Instagram is not your customer on Pinterest. They're completely different types of people. They might be different generations. They might be different, interested in different things. So yeah, it's a completely different and new audience where you can, it's discoverable. I mean, I feel like people who haven't spent time on Pinterest have the opportunity to gain a lot of new exposure as opposed to all the time they've spent on Instagram.
Conventional wisdom tells us that old people are on Facebook, middle age to upper younger people are on Instagram. Snapchat's got the younger people than that. And then TikTok are the babies, right?
Yep.
So who is on Pinterest?
Millennials and Gen Z. Those are the two. Gen Z is really fast growing right now, too. They're up and coming. My kids are 14 and 15. They use Pinterest quite a bit, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me an example. Why would one of your kids use Pinterest?
They go looking for drawing ideas, or they go looking for cool t-shirts. They love Marvel, so they'll look into quotes and certain things that are other people are sharing on Pinterest around those types of topics.
And when they see a pin of a Marvel t-shirt, there's going to be a link to a website where they can go on there and use mommy's credit card to buy a shirt.
Yeah, it usually starts with, hey, mom, I saw this on Pinterest. Will you buy this for me? And I'll say no. And they're like, okay, I'll save it for later. I have my board. Can we go back here? This is what I want for my birthday. So they've already picked up on the fact that they can save a bunch of stuff that they want and they can show it to me and I'll either say yes or no.
Very, very interesting. So it's really good for kind of micro e-commerce, isn't it? Like if you're selling a Marvel t-shirt, like out of your garage or something, you're probably on Etsy, and it's a really good way to market your stuff.
Yes. And Pinterest is making a big push in 21 towards shopping integrations to make that process even easier, because Pinterest has figured out that they are the great informer of purchases, but they're not necessarily where people actually take action. So they want to shorten that 3-month timeline that I talked about between seeing the product and getting to buy it, so that there's shop integrations to where people can get their items onto Pinterest quicker. The pricing is updated too with a pin all the time. That's a really important thing for shop owners, or it can show if it's out of stock or not. So Pinterest is making that a big push this year.
I really think that a beauty professional can get new clients with this platform. I don't know how much people are doing it. I plan to spend a little bit of time. If any listeners are doing it now, DM me on Instagram because that's where it's happening for us. And let me know how you're doing it, because I'm very, very curious. Is there a messaging component to Pinterest?
So describe messaging a little bit more. Does that mean in like all your pins or your profile?
Maybe I was asking about direct messaging similar to Instagram or Facebook. However, your question also kind of brought up another another bit of interest. The comments, you mentioned that you can comment, but it's not really the kind of platform where there's a lot of comments. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you see comments, they're more spammers. So they're not really authentic. You would read it and go, yeah, that's not legit. Pinterest does do a feature where if you click on a pin, mostly it's with recipes. What Pinterest wants to know is if you've tried it. So the next time you open up the app, that recipe will slide up and Pinterest will say, hey, did you try this? If so, comment on it. So recipes tend to get more authentic comments about people actually who did it. But we really don't see that in any other spaces. We see more the spammers. And also Pinterest doesn't have a good notification system. So you as the business owner, you know, when you pop onto Instagram, you see the hearts and you can see the comments right away. Mm-hmm. That's not as easy to find on Pinterest. It's actually pretty difficult. You have to dig for it. So there's not this natural, hey, someone left a comment, go comment back. It's right. Just doesn't really happen.
And isn't that great that we don't feel the need to have to go back and comment back for fear that somebody is going to be pissed off because you didn't respond to their comment?
Yeah. You open up Pinterest and you kind of take a exhale. You're like, okay, I don't have to talk to anybody. I can just figure out whatever I want. It's wonderful.
Okay. So no direct message component if you wanted to message a particular account.
You can't direct message. That okay. is there. But I will say that you can't see them. So it will say, so-and-so Got wants it. To message you, decline or accept. Okay. It's usually spammers.
Okay. Let's take just go back to the extension example, the hairdresser who does extensions, and she's in Portland and she wants to get new clients. How much time are you recommending she should spend on Pinterest every week? Given everything we've talked about, is it the kind of thing where she needs to kind of regularly post pins? That's probably not the correct terminology. Does she need to regularly create the pins? Or can she just splatter 20 pins up there and let those seeds grow?
Yeah, we don't recommend the splattering. That's not going to work super well on Pinterest. So we recommend more of a drip model. So if I was this person, what I would do is I would first actually figure out what I would want my content on Pinterest to be. I might batch it so that it's ready to go. Something along the lines of a lot of the FAQs, like I talked about earlier, behind extensions, what's the process look like? Even if you have a short form video, you can share that to Pinterest too as well. That's content. So we recommend one time per day to Pinterest to keep it consistently tending that fire, not all at once, and make it about the seeds that are planted towards the basic questions that someone has going, should I get extensions? Am I a candidate for extensions? All of these types of things. And then making sure Portland, Oregon, or the salon name, of course, is in the pin description. But one per day is what I would recommend. And I would probably spend about 2 hours planning out the content plan. Like, what am I going to share to Pinterest along those lines? And then you can use tools, scheduling tools. In fact, those who schedule on Instagram or tend to use that as a planning tool, some of those Instagram tools also have a Pinterest scheduling component to them. So you could add that. And then let's say you have 10 really awesome pins you created about extensions. You could put that into that scheduling tool over the next 10 weeks, you know, or so. And you would be able to just kind of schedule it out and then not have to worry about it every single day. I don't want people to have to sit on their phone all the time. They're already doing that with Instagram. You don't have to do that with Pinterest.
Thank God. Yes. Something that I found interesting going back maybe 2 years is that Pinterest started linking in between platforms. Explain that. And this goes back to what I kind of mentioned earlier, how we were seeing traffic, more traffic to the website coming from Pinterest, but also more traffic to other, I think it was Facebook or Instagram. We were seeing traffic from Pinterest growing huge. How does that work?
Are you talking about, like, give me an example. So it would be Pinterest would link to a Facebook post or an Instagram post. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
There's some interoperability between the platforms that I'm forgetting the details and the specifics, but there's some functionality that Pinterest added going back a while that is really helping the searchability and the eyeballs on specific pins.
Yeah, so they added a feature called claiming accounts, and you could claim your Instagram account, your YouTube account, and your Etsy account. So you could tell Pinterest, if there are pins coming from these other places and they originate on this account, they're mine, they're legitimate, and you can show them to people. So that also allowed you with a business account to see where it was people were actually clicking. You could get the analytics on that business account for Instagram, YouTube, and Etsy, which helped. Pinterest had a problem with stolen pins. And what that meant is that scrapers were coming onto the platform and they would take your beautiful picture of extensions, swipe off the link, and lead it to their spammer site. And so Pinterest wants to prevent away from that happening. And that's through claiming what you own so that Pinterest knows, oh, this is actually yours and it is not a stolen pin, but it's a legitimate pin.
All that's done like in settings or?
Yeah, if you go into your settings, Pinterest will ask you what accounts you want to claim. First, they'll want to verify your website. They have a little button that says verify. And then underneath, you can put Instagram, YouTube, or Etsy, which ones they are. And then Pinterest will allow you to claim those.
Okay, before we start wrapping it up, what else do you want to tell us about Pinterest that is helpful for micro business like an independent beauty pro?
So one of the new things that Pinterest has introduced is story pins. And I feel like everybody's introducing an element of a story. It's like everybody took Snapchat's model and kind of replicated it everywhere. But this is a little bit different because it's, again, not an Instagram story, but it's about maybe a process or a step-by-step or showing how things happen. And so I love story pins for people who maybe don't want to create content or they don't want to quote-unquote blog about a process. They can create these story cards. They could probably even repurpose them from Instagram, showing what that process is. And the great thing about these stories on Pinterest is they live forever. So people save them. They don't go away. They just are there. And they link at the end to your profile. So you'll see them now on Pinterest at the top. They're the little bubbles that pop up on the app. Those are people sharing stories of projects they've done or products they have. Just a new creative way that's a diversification strategy away from just one singular pin. Now you can do story pins.
So I'm looking on Pinterest, and I admit I don't spend a lot of time on Pinterest, so I don't know if I'm looking in the right place. But where would these stories be? You said a bubble?
Yep, there's a bubble right at the top. It is, if you open up the app,
yeah,
there should be those at the top. Yep, you got, oh, your app looks different than mine. Okay, hold on. Do you see the bubbles at the top?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why?
That's what they are.
How come I don't
know.
Have that?
Have you?
Maybe, my phone is set to auto update.
Oh, interesting. I'm not quite sure. But they will be very simple cards, if you will, just walking through a process. If somebody's new to Pinterest and they're trying to figure out how to use story pins, go onto Pinterest and simply search anything, whatever it is you're going to talk about. And you'll see this little bubble in the upper left that says a number, and then it looks like little cards. That's a story pin.
Mm. Something is not right with my Pinterest.
I can't believe you don't have it.
Well, let me make sure.
Once you click on them, though, we joke that once you click on them, Pinterest sees that as a cue to show you more because it's, it's going to be like your crazy aunt who knows you like penguins or something.
It was like the one time that on Instagram it was virtually accidental. I clicked on someone's post of like a facial extraction of a zit. And I swear to God, it took me a year. And I didn't even want to see this. It took me a year to get those off my Explore page. And for whatever reason, they were putting them in like the really big boxes on the Explore page. It's disgusting.
Oh, that's the worst. And you don't want to go there. Yeah, this is what will happen with story pins. The interesting thing you need to know about story pins, they don't link, but they do go directly to your profile at the end. So that is a way to kind of gain followers, because you'll have this awesome story pin and then people will come to your profile and follow you. So if you don't have a website yet and you want to show the process of adding extensions, you can do a card. That's what they're called. A card is a step-by-step, and you can simply just upload it to Pinterest. That's a new feature I'm excited about. I think it gives a good diversification strategy and also helps people who don't have a website. I like that as well, because then you have an opportunity to talk about your product and show it in action and then lead them to your profile. And then you can even put all your information about where you're at locally. You can try to capture a different type of traffic. I'm really a big fan of it. It's probably about 6 or 8 months old now.
Interesting. Okay. Anything else?
I do like video. So those who are on Instagram and TikTok, I'm going to say this. Don't use your straight TikToks if you're using it. If you can find a way to remove the watermark too for Pinterest. We're noticing that obviously on Instagram too, trying to remove the watermark. We're seeing that on Pinterest as well. But you can repurpose your TikToks by just uploading them to Pinterest. And especially if they show a really, if they are less about you and they're more about whatever the service is, that's even better. So upload those to Pinterest. That's another, I guess, repurposing content. Upload those to Pinterest as a video and link them to your website.
Right, because Pinterest is not all about you. TikTok is, right? It's all about, look at me, I'm dancing and I'm acting like I'm singing. Look at, watch me more, right? And Pinterest is the right. Opposite.
Yeah, I Googled TikTok and Pinterest and found some interesting Reddit threads of people complaining about TikToks on Pinterest. And they said that exact thing. They're like, I don't want to see TikToks. I want to see things that I can do or I can make or I can... I don't want to see people. It really is that feeling on Pinterest of like, get out of my space. I want to just do a project or go have somebody cut my hair like this.
Right. It's really for somebody who's trying to be productive, accomplish something, whether it's finding the right haircut or accomplishing like a different kind of birthday party for your kid, right? Which is super cool. It's really interesting. And I'm glad we had this talk. Anything else before we wrap it up, any other element to this thing that a beauty pro should know?
I think I just really want to reiterate that point that this is going to take time, but it is really important when it comes to getting more customers, new people to your website to be exposed to you, that if you really go in with that mindset, it is going to be so much more helpful to you and less frustrating than if you take what you expect from another platform. Mm-hmm. And so go on there, just play around with it, open up your app, look at what the features are, especially if you're not a heavy Pinterest user. Start just using it and see what users see, because a lot of things what we do as marketers is we lead with the marketing brain instead of lead with the user brain. And when we go use a platform, we tend to be better communicators of our products. And so do that for like a half an hour. Don't do it forever. Save things you love. Save things that stand out to you. So that's what I recommend for anybody that's just starting out on Pinterest. Give it time. Explore the platform and figure out what your style is over on that platform.
We recently dropped an episode on the Hair Game podcast about SEO. Similar to how this is all about Pinterest, we did an episode all about search engine optimization and driving, you know, business to your chair. Pinterest is the exact kind of thing that can drum up more searchability so that Google is going to rank you higher. Is that right? I mean, that's what I'm getting from this entire conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And Google will index Pinterest pins and even Pinterest boards sometimes. So when you search for, when a Google searcher searches for a particular type of haircut, you'll find that Google's linking to Pinterest boards. So know that those two are very much interlinked and can fuel each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Super important. And these are the kinds of things that I feel that make one small business just a great deal better than most small businesses, right? You put out those tentacles that can really strengthen your business over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really want people just to try it. And if you get frustrated too, when you are in it and you feel like it's not for you, find somebody to manage it for you. And that doesn't have to be us. It doesn't have to be, it could be a friend or a cousin or something like that. Find somebody who can be your presence on the platform. Don't try to push a boulder uphill. I know I feel that way about certain platforms and eventually I just have to give up. So if you are frustrated with Pinterest and you just feel like you need to outsource it, do it. And then it can keep that machine going while you focus on a platform you maybe like more.
When I interview the beauty professionals, I often ask for a hair horror story. But I imagine that there's got to be a Pinterest horror story, right? There must something gone wrong. Like you had a client and they thought it was a really good idea to post whatever, and it was horrible.
Okay, so I would say that our horror story is when we manage for clients, what we tell them is, hey, we've got this for you. You don't even have to worry about Pinterest. So we opened up an account one day and this particular client had pinned like 30 of the same pin back to back to back to back to back, which is like the Pinterest, like number one, never, ever, ever do this. We had to spend time deleting pins, moving things around, trying to explain to them. And it was just somebody who got really impatient with the process and was like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to throw it all up there and hope it works. And it was like, nope, that's the number one way you can get marked as spam. Don't do that.
That's so funny. So you keep saying we, and you are the CEO of Simple Pin Media. So tell us, I mean, what, do you have a, you have a group of people, all Pinterest experts, and you all just kind of sit around your computers just pumping out like Pinterest magic? How does it work?
Talking Pinterest. Yeah, I actually have 38 employees and Whoa. We are all, yeah, it's a pretty big team. We function on the, we kind of have four, I would say four sub companies. So we have the parts where we teach Pinterest on organic, and then we do organic management for people that come to us. And then we also do paid ads, promoted pins. So we do those as a service, and then we teach people how to do those as well. So we kind of have these two arms that go out that have both a learn from us or a hire us approach. Mm-hmm. And so I get to sit at the top and really lead the vision and do a lot of Pinterest marketing education, figuring out where Pinterest is going. It's a public company now, so I like try to pay attention to what new features they have. And then I work with, we have a director team, work with them, try to figure out how to really make us the Nordstrom of Pinterest marketing. That's been my goal. How do we make sure that we are ahead of the curve, we're delivering the best, and we're serving, whether it's our students or our clients, how we make sure they get the best information without wasting their time. I don't have extra time as a business owner, so I know the people I'm teaching don't either. So we want to distill that down into saying, just do this, and just keep going forward on this path. So Amazing. That's what I do.
Okay, so again, you've got the podcast. Anyone could jump on there. It's called Simple Pin Podcast. You're educating on there for free. And then you've got the Simple Pin Collective, which is kind of the group classes where people are going to get more information and maybe they can ask questions on there, stuff like that, right? Super and you charge money community. For that, I imagine. How mm-hmm. much do you charge for that?
We do $97 a month for that.
$97
a
month.
So you can join. Yeah, we have a lot in there, from templates to teaching. I do coaching twice a month in there. It's packed with literally everything anybody would ever need.
And so those are for the people who don't want to spend a lot of money. They can do a lot of it themselves. They just don't know what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're teaching Correct. Them, you're telling them what to do, and you're giving them all the tools. And then, of course, you've got the kind of consultation part if they want to spend more money. So like if let's say a single hairdresser wants you to do everything for them, like give or take, what range would that cost them?
Yeah, so we have monthly management that goes from $600 a month all the way up to $2,100 a month for like a VIP package that also includes promoted pins. So that would be kind of the full suite of everything, do all of it. But if you are at the beginning and you just want us to take it over, strategy, analytics, really helping you get it going, the $600 a month would be the baseline.
Pretty cool. Thank you so much, Kate. Kate All, I just nailed it on your name right out of the gate. It's AHL, your Simple Pin Media on Instagram. And I strongly recommend to all the Hair Game podcast listeners to check her out. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening, especially to the new listeners. Thanks for being here, especially to our legacy listeners, those listeners who are with us every single week. Thank you so much. You guys are the ones that make it worth us doing this. As always, please reach out to us with questions or comments at the Hair Game Podcast Instagram. Please screenshot this episode and share it on your stories. That's how your hair loves learn about us as well. Word of mouth is everything to podcasters, just like it is to hairdressers. Podloot for next week is going to be a surprise, and you'll see why in a second. For a chance to win, write a review on the Apple Podcast app. The review has to include your exact Instagram handle. That's how we know who you are. Make sure you're following the Hair Game Podcast and me, Love Eric Taylor, on Instagram. And then I put your name in my bag. Each week, I pull a name and I announce the winner at the beginning of every episode. You have to be listening to win, so you can DM me your mailing address or your email address. However, we need to send you the Podloot. If you don't win, keep listening because your name stays in the bag in the office. You could win any week on any episode. For complete details, go to salonrepublic.com. Next week's episode is number 200. 200. We've been doing this for about 4 years now, since 2017, which is wildness. Just top to bottom, crazy town. Can't even believe it. Okay, so next week's episode will be with Britt Siva, another podcaster in our industry. I think you're going to love it. Until then, have a great week.